Welcome back into 1600 ESPN, and happy game week. College football finally here. It's not everybody, of course. It's week zero this week, a select number of games happening in the college football world, but one of those games is the biggest game for week one or week zero. It is Iowa State and Kansas State, a ranked battle in Dublin, Ireland, and we are pleased to welcome back to the program John Walters, voice of the Iowa State Cyclones. He's back with us for another season here on 1600 ESPN, and his appearance brought to you by Craig Adamson at True Wealth Stewardship in Marion. We appreciate Craig's support of the segment and of Cyclone Sports here on 1600 ESPN. John, good to have you back on. How was your offseason?
It was great. It was fast, a lot quicker than most, because by the time the calendar turned to the 4th of July, you really started thinking about football with the early, you know, two games in August for Iowa State. So it's a little pushed up as far as the schedule, and that made the summer go very fast.
Well, it's a big game coming up this weekend for the Cyclones as they take on K-State. We'll get into just kind of what this means here in just a moment from a on-the-field perspective. But off the field, John, I just want to get your thoughts on just kind of what this means for Iowa State to be taking part in such a special event. Of course, going over to Ireland, you're playing Kansas State, but it's the first game of the college football season. That's pretty darn cool if you're an Iowa State backer to be the team that kicks off, one of the two teams that kicks off the college football season. So from your perspective, just what does this event mean, this game mean for Iowa State to be taking part in this in Dublin this coming Saturday?
I think it means a lot. I really do. I think it might end up being the most watched Iowa State football game in history just because of the stage that it's on. The fact that people around the country are so hungry for college football to get started. You know, if this was Oregon playing Washington State or something, I'd watch it. I wouldn't care what two teams were playing at 11 a.m. on ESPN on Saturday. I'd be watching the game no matter what. And so I think that a lot of people that don't typically watch Iowa State football will be watching this Saturday, and a tremendous stage and a tremendous opportunity. And I think back to, you know, when Iowa State opened the season in the Eddie Robinson kickoff classic against Florida State down in Kansas City, albeit in a loss, but a very, very competitive game, and a game that was supposed to be lopsided, and Iowa State almost knocked off Bobby Bowden's Florida State team when they were ranked very high, and that was a memorable experience. I just think this is going to be an amazing opportunity for the young guys in both programs. I mean, they're not going to spend a lot of time sightseeing, and everybody understands that it's a business trip, and you have to go treat it very seriously, especially because of, you know, the stakes in the Big 12 race. But at the same time, I mean, how often do football teams get to make a foreign trip? Almost never. And so this is a great, great opportunity for everybody involved in both programs, and I couldn't be more excited about, you know, Iowa State football kind of getting to showcase itself on the stage that it'll have this Saturday.
Yes, this is your typical season opener. No disrespect to the Northern Iowas or the North Dakotas or who have you of the college football world, but it's a conference game. It's a game between two ranked teams, a game between two teams that could, emphasis on the could, of course, contend for a Big 12 title game appearance this year. And, oh yeah, it's in Ireland too. So this isn't in Manhattan. This isn't in Ames, Iowa. This isn't even in Kansas City. You got to go to a different country to play this game. When you look at the game itself, John, and preparing for this matchup that the Cyclones have been doing for quite some time now, what are the challenges that you've heard from Matt Campbell and the players talk about as they continue their preparations for Saturday?
Well, one of the big challenges is the fact that you're playing a very physical Big 12 team that's an arch rival right out of the gate. Now, normally you have an opportunity, I don't want to say to ease into the season, because of, you know, if Iowa State was opening with South Dakota, that's a team that won 11 games last year and was in the FCS semifinals. That's going to be a tough game a week from now. But you at least have a chance to get your feet wet against a non-conference opponent. But this is going to be, okay, Katie barred the door. Everybody's bringing it from the word go and trying like crazy to get off to a great start. And, you know, when you think about the conference race, for Iowa State, this is a huge opportunity. It was supposed to be a game in Manhattan. If you win this game, you really put yourself in a great, it's like getting a road win at K-State, you really put yourself in a great position in the conference race. If you lose it, it certainly doesn't knock you out of the conference race, but it makes things a lot more difficult. But if you win it, wow, what a notch in your belt, you know, going forward. So great, great opportunity. And I think for Matt Campbell and his program, what they're trying to do is analyze it not so much from a one-game perspective, but also from a big-picture perspective of how do you travel, sleep, eat in terms of, you know, not letting it ruin your season? We've seen Northwestern and Nebraska go over there and have horrible seasons coming back from Ireland. We saw Florida State do it last year, just had a miserable season. And so I think for Matt, the big picture thing is, hey, how do you recover on the back end of this thing and make sure that you're good to go for the rest of your season? And so he's talked to a lot of the coaches that have coached in this game before at the collegiate level, and he's also talked to some NFL coaches and personnel people that just to see how they handle trips to Ireland or to Europe in the middle of their seasons and how they rebounded from it. So there's a lot going on. There's a lot of moving parts. It's a completely different challenge than what you're used to. But bottom line, you've got two arch rivals. They're both in the same boat. They both got the same circumstances. So it's just a great way to kick off the college football season.
Let's look at the team as a whole, John. On offense, of course, Rocco Beck coming back is huge. You have solid running backs, a really good tight end room, and I think a solid group of O-linemen coming back too. But when you look at the offense, you look at the whole left with the departures of Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noll, both to the Houston Texans, which is super cool for both of them. But Iowa State, of course, looking to fill that gap with a couple different transfers with Chase Soul and Xavier Townsend coming from East Carolina and Central Florida, respectively. What do we know about those two? What have you seen from those two so far? Obviously, no game action to look at just yet, but what can we expect from the two transfer receivers and that receiving group as a whole in this 2025 season?
I expect the receivers to be pretty good. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that you're going to just automatically plug in two guys and replace two guys with the Houston Texans that combined for 2,400 yards and 17 touchdowns receiving last season. That's just could just step in and repeat that. But Sowell is how it's pronounced. Sowell is a little bit built like Jay. He's not quite as lanky, but you know, 6'4" or so, and a good frame on him. Competitive, goes and gets the ball in traffic, and I really like him. And Xavier Townsend is a guy who is built more like Jalen Noll. So body-wise, they kind of fill the void, but production-wise, we'll have to see. But, you know, there's guys returning, too, in the program that the coaches were really excited about, even though they didn't do a ton last year. Brett Eskelson is a young guy from Frisco, Texas, who played last year as a true freshman, mostly on special teams, but had some big catches. And then Dominic Overby from out in Utah is a tall, lanky receiver with speed, great speed, a state champion sprinter. So they really feel good about both of those guys as well. And Eli Green, who really struggled last year in his first year in the program coming from North Dakota State, but had a great career with the Bison. I expect him to take a big step forward this year as well. So I think the long answer to your question is what I just gave. The short answer is, look, they're going to have to throw the ball to the tight ends a lot more than they probably have in the past. They're going to have to really be strong with the running game, and they're going to have to play to their strengths. And I think that the receivers have to be bought a little bit of time to come along. And I think because of the strength in the tight end room and the running back room and so many guys returning there, they can afford to do that.
On defense, John, Dominique Orange getting a lot of love in the preseason watch lists and those things. And John Tez Williams and Jeremiah Cooper, I know, are some key guys back in the defensive backfield. What are the biggest questions, or what's the biggest question facing the Cyclones defense for this season?
Well, they did lose a lot on the back end, you know, with Miles Purchase and Darian Porter and Bo Freeler. Those are guys that are really hard to replace. Malik Radon, you know, that's four big-time players that they lost out of their secondary. But you just mentioned two guys that are returning. You know, they're all Big 12 preseason picks, and John Tez Williams and Jeremiah Cooper. So that's a pretty good place to start in the defensive backfield. But I think that's where the question marks still lie. Cooper can play corner or safety. They're really excited about Marcus Neal, who played some as a true freshman a year ago, and they feel can step right into Bo Freeler's spot at that middle safety. And then, you know, there's some young guys that have really come on. I mean, Trey Bell at corner is a transfer from Lindenwood. They're excited about him. Really excited about Kaijon Cummings Coleman. He's a hybrid, kind of a safety nickelback type player, but really a great athlete out of Minneapolis that redshirted a year ago. So, you know, there's several guys that are going to be in the mix to play back there. Tayshawn James, you can go on and on. But that's maybe where the most question marks lie. The other big question mark is, you know, will those linebackers get back to playing at the level that they have through the years for John Haycock? And last year they took the step back because of injuries. So this year all those guys are healthy. That's going to help tremendously. can Iowa State go from being 15th out of 16 Big 12 teams in rush defense a year ago with all those injuries and somehow still miraculously winning 11 games to back to the first, second, or third of the Big 12 in rush defense that they typically are under John Haycock? I think that's where they really had to outscore people down the stretch last year. You saw the Pop-Tarts Bowl where they basically outscored Miami. I think it'll be more of a typical Iowa State team this year with John Haycock's team, hopefully returning to being a real strength of this team because of the linebacking core.
Can't forget about the specialists. I know Kyle Conrardi is back, and then at the punter position, Tyler Perkins coming back as well. It's good to have experience, no doubt, at the specialist position, right, John?
It really is. The one big question mark as far as specialists, they lost Jalen Knoll, who was terrific in punt return. Xavier Townsend's very talented, did that for UCF. And also a young man from Aiden Flora, who's a walk-on in the program but has really emerged, is a guy that has great speed, and he can return punts and kicks too. So there's a couple of options there. But, yes, even the deep snapper, Drew Clawson, is back, the holder, Tyler Perkins, punter Perkins, kicker Conrardi. You sure feel good about the kicking game, Jace Gilbert on kickoffs. All those guys are back. So a lot of experience returning, and very quietly last year, Iowa State had great special teams a year ago with Rob Grandy, who runs their special teams and probably doesn't get enough credit for it, but he does a great job. And that was a real strength. And when you think of Iowa State last year going 5-1 in one possession game, special teams often are the difference between winning and losing. And I thought the special teams really came through last year. So if they can do that again this year, it'll really bode well for Iowa State.
Well, let's look ahead to Saturday's game, John. Kansas State, we know what they're about. And like I mentioned at the beginning of our chat here, they're projected at least to be one of the top teams in the Big 12. It's a rivalry matchup. So this one is, like we said, not your typical early season or start of the season game. What are the keys, in your opinion, for Iowa State to head to Ireland and come back to the U.S. with a victory?
Well, I'd start with the last two things I just mentioned, which is slow the run game of Kansas State, which is hard to do. They averaged 6.1 yards a carry last year, which was second in the nation. But they did lose Giddens to the NFL. They do have back Dylan Edwards, who's a terrific back, and Avery Johnson's a great running quarterback. But you got to slow that run game down, and I think that's where it kind of starts for Iowa State. And then also I mentioned the special teams. Got to win the special teams battle. An area where Kansas State uncharacteristically struggled a year ago was with their special teams. So if Iowa State can win that battle, that would certainly help their cause too. I think there's a lot of things that go into this game, but those are two that come to the top of mind. And, you know, turnover margin is always a big deal. These teams are tight. They're competitive. I think it's a toss-up game. But last year, Iowa State won the turnover battle 2-0, and they beat Kansas State and Ames. If they didn't create those two turnovers, they probably wouldn't have won that game. So I think that's another area to keep a close eye on Saturday.
What's got the most in your suitcase, John? Green or Iowa State colors? Or is it split 50-50 with, like, wardrobe choice for the trip to Ireland?
Yeah, I got a pack still, so that probably will go heavy into the Cardinal, mostly because I think Jamie Pollard really wants Iowa State fans to represent over there in their school colors so people can see the flood of Cyclone fans. I think both schools are anticipating over 10,000 fans. I think it'll probably be between 10 and 12 fans from each program that are over there, which is going to be just incredible. And so I'll probably lean a little Cardinal, but definitely throw in a little dash of green somewhere along the line.
All right, John, safe travels, and we'll talk to you again next Monday. Look back at that game against K-State and look ahead to the U.S. opener against South Dakota.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.